The World Cup Championship will be crowned this week, and you can trade the tourney through the finals on Kalshi, America's number one prediction market platform. Right now, Spain is trading at 58% to beat Argentina, meaning 100 trade pays out 166 if they win. On Kalshi, you're trading against other people in a live market. No house, no odds makers. For a limited time, download the Kalshi app and use code DEFEND to get $10 when you trade $10. K-A-L-S-H-I. Kalshi. Trade the beautiful game. 18 plus only. Restrictions and eligibility requirements apply. Event contract trading involves risk and may not be suitable for all investors. Kalshi products are not available in all jurisdictions. Prices, values, and available markets may differ from those mentioned. For more information, see kalshi.com/regulatory.
It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Good Friday, everybody. Welcome in. Chase and Michelle, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. She's Michelle Knezevic. I'm Chase McCabe, the reporter Nick Kieser behind the glass. Hope you're having a fantastic day. We have made it to Friday, and it's going to be a great day, going to be a great weekend. Michelle, what's up?
Nothing much. Happy Friday.
Happy Friday.
Warm out.
What random sports team do you have on today?
I've got the Green Wave on today.
Ah, Tulane.
Yeah.
Okay,
I will say... You wouldn't think that blue and green would go well together.
I love their color scheme.
And I think that, like, just like Michigan, how navy and yellow, like, you're like, yeah, those don't really go together. Like, you wouldn't wear, you know, a yellow shirt and, like, navy pants. Well, or, yeah, I guess you could. But they look great on a sports uniform together.
Yeah.
I love when schools have that. I need to get TCU or Kansas State because I'm loving the purple.
Yeah, I love TCU.
Kansas State's men's basketball coaching staff, when they were in the tournament, had these light purple warm-ups, and I do love the purple. So it's our random college apparel day again. Remember when I had the Northwestern on? I guess I do have purple with my Northwestern sweatshirt.
But I'm laughing because I pulled up the text line. Raymond in Franklin is very excited and can't hear what I have to say today. Well, thank you, Raymond. I know you're being sarcastic, but I appreciate it.
I don't even have the text line pulled up. Are we feeling feisty on a Friday?
I guess, yeah. Feisty Friday.
I think we taglined that last time, like spicy Friday, feisty Friday. Raymond, so excited. Can't wait to hear what Chase has to say. Yeah. Raymond, I am too.
Yeah, look, I got thoughts. I got things to say. Chris Sanders is going to join us at the bottom of the hour because I figured all this wide receiver talk, let's go get a wide receiver and talk to Chris. So we will do that. Coming up at the bottom of the hour, but DeAndre Hopkins visits with the Patriots, does not sign with the Patriots, no contract. And so if you're a Titans fan and you're hoping that DeAndre Hopkins comes to Nashville, you had a little bit of a breathing of a sigh of relief yesterday with that. I didn't really expect him to. I mean, I think this is now his process, and I have a feeling, you know, I heard Teron, you know, yesterday and today, and you got to figure that finances were discussed. I mean, you're not going to go visit and not have that conversation. Doesn't necessarily mean offers were given, but it just like, hey, this is what we can do. Think about it. Go visit, you know, and then let's circle back. And I feel like that's probably what happened with both teams. Ultimately, bias aside, I still think the Titans would be the better fit for him. We've talked about it, the quarterback. Being the biggest thing, the offense, you know, he's obviously, and he's, I mean, he's familiar with Bill O'Brien too, but he supposedly hates Bill O'Brien. So, that's probably a problem.
Yeah. I don't know if maybe they're just putting like fluff around the fact that, you know, that was probably when that trade happened. I mean, everybody looked at each other and was like, what just happened? You just traded DeAndre Hopkins, and that's the return you got? I mean, we had John McClain on earlier this week, and he's been covering Houston sports, specifically the Texans, for 40-plus years. And he talks about how that might have been the worst move in Texans history. But, you know, I don't understand – or I don't know why – I don't know why people are like, oh, no, they're fine. They're fine. They've worked it out. I'm like, there definitely has to be some animosity there. But whatever. If they choose to, you know, put things aside and he ends up wanting to sign there, great. Everybody was freaking out yesterday because DeAndre Hopkins posted or somebody posted a picture with D-Hop in the Patriots locker room. Okay.
I mean, he was in the Titans locker room.
Yeah, I mean, okay. Like, if somebody wants to post on Instagram, okay. If Jeffrey Simmons slid into his DMs, right? So, you know, you can say that all of this stuff matters, but at the end of the day, DeAndre Hopkins is probably going to choose which is the best offer for him personally. I have a feeling that money will have a lot to do with that, but if he wants money and winning and the Patriots and the Titans offers are very similar or the same. I mean, you look at the situation that Tennessee's in and compared to the Patriots, you know, you're sitting at the second and you're fighting for, you know, that first place spot. If you do get a guy like D-Hop in the division, you're matched up with the NFC South, which is the Saints, Panthers, Bucks and Falcons, which that division is probably the worst in the NFC, just like the AFC South. So you've got a pretty easy schedule and you're looking at the Patriots and it's like, you get to play twice the Bills, the Jets and the Dolphins. Yeah, you are the fourth team in that division all day, every day, even with a DeAndre Hopkins.
This is what I'm curious about because, you know, we get Raymond's texting back and forth with us and we love Raymond. He's a loyal listener. I think it's fascinating because there are some people that are like, okay, I'm tired of talking about this. Like, I'm tired of hearing about DeAndre Hopkins. You know, you guys are talking about it, meaning us, over and over again. And I find that fascinating because I'm like, I feel like a lot of people care because they want to see him come here. But at the same time, I mean, even for me, it's like, okay, well, there's really not that much with it right now, and so what do you do? You know, that's how do you view it? And I think a lot of people are kind of in that purgatory of, well, he visited, he hasn't signed, he visited the Patriots, he hadn't signed, so let's just go sign him on Madden and play and, you know, dream a little bit.
Go watch some highlights.
Which I might have done last night.
Go watch some YouTube highlights of his time in Houston. I mean, here's the thing. There's nothing new, and it's June 16th, and there probably won't be anything new tomorrow, the next day. You know, I have a feeling that this is going to linger for a while. I mean, he still could be potentially talking with other teams that just haven't hosted him for a visit yet. We don't know what's happening behind the scenes, or these could only be the only teams that are interested right now, and he wants to get on a roster sooner than later. We really don't know. I have an internal conflict with that too, Chase, because I feel like, of course, it's going to be the biggest story when they host him for a visit last weekend. And now we're at Friday. It's almost a week out since DeAndre Hopkins was here. He visited the Patriots. And if you got a guy like him on your team, the perspective of this season and the view of this season would change drastically. And that's why it is so important.
Sure.
But I understand, you know, that a repetitiveness and fans are like, oh, I don't want to hear it. Close my ears. I just want to get him. I get it. But the reality is, if they got him, I would view this completely different. I would view this team as a playoff team. I would view this team, you know, up for the division. But I get it. There's not much new information. Everybody yesterday was freaking out that Mike Florio said that, you know, an offer was made.
Yeah.
Which we talked about like 2 or 3 days ago. So let's just, of course, he visited because financially they probably were both on the same page.
Right.
Same with the Patriots.
Yeah, I mean, you have to give an idea. Nick, you're the reporter. Can you go break this for us? Can you just put Nashville at ease and go find this out?
No, but I can tell you that Michael Jordan is now not the majority owner of the Hornets.
Well, we'll get to that, but that is true. Woj just put that out there.
I thought Nick said something in your ear, and I was like, oh my gosh, can you put Nashville fans at ease? And I was like, no. Did it happen? I'm refreshing Twitter over here.
No, I'm just... You know, Nick does a fantastic job with covering the Predators, and that's thus why we dubbed him the reporter. So, which I think he hates, but you know, we'll go with it for a while. But I we'll get to the Jordan stuff because that's pretty interesting too. Mm-hmm. Teron Davenport was on with the Power Hour yesterday with Stillman and Company, and I thought this was interesting how he put this that it. From what he gathers, the Titans are pretty confident that they're going to land Hopkins.
I don't think they're concerned about him going anywhere, to be honest with you. I think, like I said, they're confident in what they put in front of him, and they believe that he's going to be a Titan. But, I mean, look, that's, you could be confident all you want, and that's not going to make it happen. You know, ultimately, it's going to be money. So that's really where it's going to count.
So, and again, if I'm Hopkins at this stage of my career, I don't want to deal with Belichick. Now you're gonna have to deal with Vrabel, but I feel like Vrabel to us is much different than Vrabel behind closed doors to the players.
Sure.
Because Vrabel, even though he told me that I make a big deal out of it, the former player thing I think is a thing.
Well, and he actually went into some detail earlier this week. I think it was on Wednesday. Steve Lehman of Channel 5 had a great question to him, you know, on how he loves getting out there and really being a part of the practices with the guys, like hitting with guys and things like that. And Vrabel went into a pretty thoughtful answer on it. And a lot of times he doesn't like to go into his history playing and things like that. But the reality is, you know, we heard it from Will Levis the other day. Will's like, I grew up in Connecticut. I would go to those Patriots training camps all the time when I was younger. You know, he had the signed football from Vrabel. I mean, arguably one of the best dynasties he was a part of in the NFL. And it does matter to players. And players do grow up, especially now, you know, the younger ones grew up watching him. But he was like, yeah, that's how I personally connect with the players out there. And that's how I feel like I can kind of get to know them, maybe on more of a personal level, rather than them just looking at me like, oh, he's my coach. He's the tough guy or whatever, but he actually like cares about making a genuine connection. And I think you see that then on the reverse from the players of, you know, Jeffrey Simmons, that video that surfaced last year of Vrabel and Ben Jones. Remember Ben Jones, you know, barely being able to get off the field and putting just everything out there. I mean, these players quite literally would run through a wall for Vrabel. And that's what I think, you know, when you look at these two teams, I think from top to bottom, Tennessee has a better constructed roster. They have a better quarterback. And at the end of the day, I think that, you know, when you talk about who likes who better as far as coaching, I'm pretty sure a lot of players are going to choose Vrabel over Belichick.
Yeah, and I think there's some other factors of why DeAndre Hopkins could choose the Titans over the Patriots. You know, as experts continue to weigh in, I feel like there's still a lean towards the Titans, including one former GM. We'll discuss that next. Chase and Michelle, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.
And how would you typically approach visits?
Well, it all depends on what the agent and the way, I guess, Hopkins, how he handled everything in terms of, like, I just want to go kick the tires everywhere first, and then we'll talk about business, and maybe it was in that way, and maybe he's trying to drum up a little bit more leverage. So I don't think that's off. I think that it's never great when the guy visits you and then turns around and visits somewhere else, and your odds of bringing him back to the building sometimes are trickier. But we're going to see, to me, if this is the only two teams that are in it, and what's the level of importance for Hopkins to have a chance to win? And I like the New England team, but I got to say, as I look here today, I think the Tennessee Titans have a better chance of winning their division and getting that postseason ticket, which I think is very important to Hopkins.
Mark Dominic, former GM yesterday, Caroline Willie and D. Mace, was also on Still in the Company. Double dipped yesterday.
Double dipped, and we had him a couple weeks ago.
We did, yes. SiriusXM does a lot with them. Chase and Michelle, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. If you're watching on the stream, you just saw me rush back in the studio, and I have to tell you why. And I just told him I was going to bring this up on the show. So Sean Fort is now our new general manager. Shout out to Dennis Quaison, who's been our GM the last four years. Is doing other things now. He's not calling it retirement, so we're not going to call it that. But
listen, call it whatever you want. Go enjoy.
So yesterday was his last day. Sean officially takes over, and I walked down to his office for a second, and he's like, yeah, I'm going to have to go get a new phone. My phone won't stay on. And I go, dude, you've been due for a new phone. It's missing a corner. Like, it's like the screen is black down at the bottom.
We've all been there, though, before, and we're like, yeah, just I'll do it eventually, and the phone is just quite literally falling
apart. It's falling apart, like, your son plays with it, like, just go get a new phone. So, we were just having that discussion and laughing, and he's like, you're really going to bring this up? And I go, yes, I am. That's exactly what I'm going
to
do.
Are you going to bring up why you went to the office?
No. I am not. But Chase and Michelle, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Mark Dominic talking about the D-Hop, you know, situation and the visit. And once again, Michelle, I mean, we kind of hear somebody that in somebody that's in the know lean more towards the Titans, that, you know, the Titans could have the upper hand in the D-Hop negotiations.
Yeah, I mean, it's just so – it's so funny, too, when I think you see some of the national media and some of, like, the NFL Network and things being so down on the Titans. Mark Dominic's pretty familiar. He comes on this radio station with this team a lot, right? And he knows, although they did have that 7-game losing streak, I mean, I don't put this as one of the worst teams in the NFL. I put it, you know, yeah, they're in a very weak division, but they still have pieces that'll allow them to be very successful. And I mean, even just some of the games last year, I mean, they went into overtime with the Kansas City Chiefs with Malik Willis at quarterback. I mean, they can win games, and that's what this league is all about. And I think, you know, if you are DeAndre Hopkins and you look at the pros and the cons for each organization, I just keep leaning towards the Titans. I'm not going to go as far to say 85% like Jason Fitz did, but I just feel like the decision would make sense, Chase. I look at, you know, everything around him, promising young Treylon Burks, you know, even Kyle Phillips, Chika Conquo. He could be that number one guy. They have cap space available, you know, throw in some incentives. You have a quarterback who's not young and he's been in the league for a while. You have Derrick Henry, you have Mike Vrabel and Tim Kelly. And it's a winnable schedule, right? So then you kind of flip it around and you look at New England. Okay, Mac Jones, people still don't know what he is. He hasn't been successful. Their offensive coordinator you have beef with from Houston. Bill Belichick is one of a kind, and you have to be a certain type of player to be able to, you know, have him as your coach. New England's in one of the toughest divisions in the AFC. They don't have a winnable schedule, and you still would be the number one guy up there. So, you know, it just comes down to, I feel like, are they offering a significant more amount of money than the Titans? Because that would be the difference maker to me.
Sure.
Why he would choose them.
And I feel like they're probably both going to come in around the same ballpark. But I also am going to bring this up. So one texter, let me throw this out there too. Mark said, do you think free agents or their agents consider things like no state income tax in Tennessee? Absolutely they do.
Yeah, because they are making a lot of money, and yeah, that's a lot
that,
of taxes.
Absolutely they do. So that is a huge part of it. But I will say this too, and I don't know if you've seen the report that Aaron Rodgers supposedly turned down a trade to the Patriots.
Oh, I saw it.
I think the shine is worn off. I mean, I really do. I mean, it just the shine is worn off. They did a lot of great things with Brady, but, you know, in the whole, was it Belichick, was it Brady? I think the answer is it was both, but
yeah.
It's been pretty clear that at least in the last few years, Belichick needed Brady more than Brady needed Belichick. And so I think that shine is worn off. Aaron Rodgers would not put up with Belichick. And Belichick would not put up with Rodgers. That would not work.
Well, yes, and also I don't think we would ever see, I mean, you know, Tom Brady is the Patriots. Like, he is their quarterback. Aaron Rodgers could never go, because then if he doesn't win a Super Bowl, it's like, it's just he's always compared to Brady. Even though he already is. I mean, that would just be, like, on a bigger scale. But, yeah, I agree, Chase. I mean, they have tried to pick up the pieces ever since Tom Brady and even Gronk left, and they haven't been able to. And then you go ahead and you see Tom Brady and Gronk go to Tampa, and they go win a championship there. And I think that that's what a lot of people needed to see. And I just think that the organization hasn't been viewed the same way since he left. I mean, it was such a winning culture, and you know, that team was just so exciting. And if you weren't a New England fan, you absolutely hated their guts, and they won a lot. But, you know, the reality is it's not sustainable. Like, once you get rid of your quarterback, your Hall of Fame quarterback, one of the best football players to ever play the game, you know, things aren't the same. And Belichick's in the second half of his career. And I'm not saying he's a bad coach or anything like that, but it takes two to tango, right? You got to have good players. You got to have Jimmys and Joes and X's and O's. And right now they don't have too many Jimmys and Joes up there in New England.
Yeah. So I just think, you know, DeAndre Hopkins, yes, he's going to look at the money, but I think he's looking at the team too. I mean, I really do.
I mean, he's lost a lot.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think that, you know, he needs to look at what is the best opportunity for him that is going to be the best fit. And again, I go back to, I think it's the Tennessee Titans. So I don't expect any resolution in this in maybe the next week or so. I think it'll be a little bit, you know. And the other thing too is, and I think you mentioned this earlier, another team could pop up, and another team probably will pop up. Now he kind of I guess now he probably has his market. And what that is, you know, if it's $3 million like the reportedly the Bills were offering, or, you know, is it more in the eight range that we suspect it's going to take? I don't know, but suppose I bet that probably comes out at some point.
Well, and I think it comes down to, what do you think DeAndre Hopkins can be? Do you think that he can be playing at, you know, really, really high levels still, and he can be 85% what he was at his peak? Okay, yeah, then that deal's worth it. I mean, you look at a guy like Alan Lazard, who's getting paid $11 million a year. You know, Juju Smith-Schuster up in New England is getting a big payday, I think, in the $10 million. So what it comes down to is, yeah, you would offer him that if you knew that he could perform at that level. But the unfortunate truth is there still are questions. You know, you have to take in consideration the PED suspension and the some of the injuries that he did have, you know, in the last 2 years in Arizona. So if you're telling me that, you know, DeAndre Hopkins is going to be 85% of what he's been in his NFL career, 100% you're trying to get him. You could push it to maybe $11 million a year. You could bump some incentives. That would be worth it. That would be a contract worth paying if you knew you were going to get that production out of him. But there are question marks. There are question marks. So I think that the Titans believe that he can be that type of player because they wouldn't have had him in here if they didn't think he'd be able to help their roster and help out their team and be available. And we had one texter on the text line ask us, you know, do you think that Hopkins, okay, Terry on the text line, do you honestly think that you're going to get more than 12 games out of DeAndre Hopkins? I mean, that is what they're trying to figure out right now. I mean, we can sit here right now in June 16th and say, well, he played half last year, but he had a 6-game PED suspension. So you hope that, you know, that's 15 games or whatever it may be. Yeah, of course you hope you can get more than 12 games. You're not signing him to a $10 million a year contract if you can't. But it's a risk you have to take. It's a bit of a gamble when you do sign older free agents. You know, I think his health is fine, but at the end of the day, you really never know.
Yeah, you never know. And with the Titans' injury struggles, you definitely never know over the last few years.
Hashtag if he's healthy.
Yeah, hashtag if he's healthy. I feel like we have to say that about every player. Look, I really think Ryan Tannehill is going to have a great year if he's healthy. Derrick Henry, you know, if he's healthy, he's going to continue to be one of the best backs in the league. And Treylon Burks, I think, if he's healthy, can take a big step. From year one to year two. I mean, that's what it is.
And people on the text line have gotten on us like, of course it's football. Of course everybody's going to be better if they're healthy. But we have to preface it because this team led the league in injuries the last two seasons. So that's why we hashtag if he's healthy all the time.
Yeah, I mean, that's just what you have to do. We know that this person is healthy, Chris Sanders.
Oh, yes.
Forever Titans wide receiver is going to join us next. We'll get his thoughts on D-Hop and other things going on with the NFL and the Titans. That's all next. Chase and Michelle, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Hello. Is it me you're looking for? Yes, it is. It is. Chris Sanders joins us now on Chase and Michelle. Goodness. Look, we all need a little Lionel in our life.
Okay. Oh, man.
About 6 or 7 years ago, my dad and I went and saw Lionel Richie. And it was a fantastic concert. And the thing that, like, made me laugh the most, I'm standing there with my dad. I'm with a friend and her mom. And yes. Lionel's like playing all his songs, and he does some Commodores, and he's sitting there at the piano, and he like looks out at the audience, and he goes, he's like, "There's a mixed crowd here tonight. There's a lot of people. There's a lot of people that you know that grew up with Lionel,
right?
And then there's a lot of people here that were probably made by those people growing up on Lionel."
100%.
He's too much.
Oh, hey, I'm gonna see if you're a Lionel Richie fan. Name two songs from the Commodores.
Well, Easy Like Sunday Mornings.
That's a gimme.
That's the gimme. And then I know them, but I don't know the names. That's the problem.
Zoom.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah.
That's a very good one.
Yes, sir.
That's your history in Lionel Richie with Chris Sanders here on 102.5 The Game. So, Chris,
yes, sir.
The process that DeAndre Hopkins is going through right now, and I mean, look, you've been through that in your career,
of
going to another team and visiting teams and getting to know coaches and GMs in a short amount of time. So, what is that process kind of like for him as now he's visited with the Titans and the Patriots?
Yeah, I mean, the thing about it is, I mean, everybody knows he wants to make money and wants to do a great thing, but here's the deal: he's got to go to a team that's a good fit. I don't know if it's the Patriots, the Titans, whoever's looking at him. And you got to remember, he's older in age, so he maybe has about two or three more years. So I think at the end of the day, he wants to figure out a team to where he can win a Super Bowl, because, you know, that's the main purpose and that's the main goal, to win a Super Bowl. So I think he's going to take his time. I don't know what team he's going to sign with. I know everybody's talking about is between the Patriots or the Tennessee Titans. There may be some other teams out there. But I think with him sitting down with his family, with his agents, to say, you know what, what's the best fit for me and my family? And I think that's where he's going to make the decision at.
So if he does sign with the Tennessee Titans, and everything with this offense and the struggles, the fact that they're not very deep at receiver, how much does that one guy and his skill set change what Tim Kelly and the Titans offense can do?
Oh, ginormous. I mean, here's the deal. They instantly became a great offense. And the reason why I said, he makes everybody better. He doesn't just make Tannehill better. He doesn't just make Derrick Henry better. He makes everybody better. And I'm going to give you a perfect example, because everybody knows Derrick Henry is that boss. He's that dude. He's that man. So the defense are going to load the box. So what are you going to get on the outside? You're going to get one-on-one coverage. And everybody knows that DeAndre Hopkins can definitely beat the one-on-one coverage, because, you know, look at what he did a couple of years ago when he went against Butler. He absolutely demolished him. So now when you're getting one-on-one coverage, there's nothing that the defensive coordinator can do to stop this Tennessee Titans offense, because he's not just a player chase. He's an impact player. When I say impact player, he changes the game by making explosive plays, and that's exactly what Tim Kelly and Mike Vrabel and that offensive staff needs to work on.
Chris Sanders, Forever Titan, joins us
right
now. Hey, Chris.
What's going on? It was good to see you the other day at the other golf tournament.
Yes, Chris joined Caroline and I when all the news broke that DeAndre would be visiting with the Tennessee Titans. So sticking on that topic for a second, Chris, does it concern you that, you know, last year he had the 6-game PED suspension and some injury issues already a little bit older? Or do you feel confident that from the production you saw last year in Arizona, he can still be that guy for the Titans?
I mean, absolutely, because look at the 9 games that he did play, and he had over 700 yards and like 3 touchdowns. If you look at the Tennessee Titans receivers, he had more than all the receivers that were there. Woods had, 527 yards. You know, Traylon Burks had 444 yards. Those are good stats. But you got a guy that played 9 games, 700 yards, and 3 touchdowns. It just shows you he has the potential to go out there and make plays. And then if you look at the Tennessee Titans also, you know, Mike Vrabel says we need to get faster and we need to make explosive plays down the field. Look at all the explosive plays that DeAndre Hopkins brings with the Texans, and then last year when he played 9 games with the Arizona Cardinals. So I think it'll be a big plus for the Titans to get another impact player, because just look at this whole offense. Everybody's talking about the offensive line and this, you know, this and that. When you add DeAndre Hopkins to with Traylon Burks, Chig, and Derrick Henry, it went from an offense to me like, oh my gosh, that's exactly what DeAndre Hopkins brings to this Tennessee Titans offense.
Chris Sanders joins us right now. Chris, I know we've talked about how an addition of DeAndre Hopkins could help a guy like Derrick Henry.
Yeah.
Well, I want to look at the running back position as a whole right now in the NFL, and I want you to give me your perspective from, you know, when you played in the league to now. We just saw the Vikings release Dalvin Cook, who in the last 4 years, I mean, over 1,000 rushing yards, almost 300 receiving yards, like 10 touchdowns last year. We're seeing what's happening with Saquon Barkley with the Giants. Yep. He's not going to minicamp. They're not going to give him the contract. We've seen Josh Jacobs get tagged. And, you know, a lot of people had their own opinions when the Tennessee Titans decided to give Derrick Henry this contract.
Right.
How much do you think now is the NFL, you know, devaluing the running back position?
It's so bad. I mean, this I'm going to break it down to you, too, and I'm going to say something that's going to blow your mind. You have Derrick Henry, who's the best back in the league, and he has 1,500 yards. And a couple of years ago, he had 2,000 yards. And in your mind, you want to trade him? You're thinking about trading him? I mean, I want you to understand what I'm actually saying and what was said. You got a back that has 1,500 yards, 2,000 yards, and you want to trade him. Basically, what that's saying is this is a passing league. You know, everybody's focusing on throwing the ball downfield and making explosive plays. So now the running back position is really that value because it's kind of like this. Just look at the offenses. You got a lot of good offense, a lot of good running backs, but now you have running backs that are playing wide receiver and splitting out and making plays. So if you look at Dalvin Cook and Derrick Henry, those guys are downhill guys that run the outside zone, inside zone. They're not flanked out and making plays, and that's why, you know, a lot of teams are staying away from those running backs.
But even a guy like Saquon Barkley is somebody who does that for the Giants, you know, and I believe that they wouldn't be in that position they were last year if it weren't for Saquon Barkley having, you know, a huge comeback year. Do you think that, you know, by training camp he'll still be a New York Giant?
I mean, for them to win, they're going to have to bring him in. I mean, look at the whole situation with that Giants team. Who did they just give a big contract to?
Daniel Jones, their quarterback.
And he's a quarterback, right? Mm-hmm. So if he is, he's not even in the vicinity of a player that Saquon Barkley is. It's not even close. But they're so focused on the position that we can get a guy that can come in here to get 12 or 1,300 yards, but also we got a quarterback that can pass the ball. So it just shows you that this league is evolving not into a running league, but a passing league. Let me give you an example. In 1999, when I was with the Titans, I was happy to get two attempts a game, or maybe one attempt a game, because we had number 27 in the backfield, because that was the identity of our football team. But now you're looking at teams today, what's the identity of their team? Look at the Kansas City Chiefs. Look at the Cincinnati Bengals. They're a pass first, run second. That's why the devalue of the running back is so, so bad.
So, Chris, I know you – Chris Sanders, Forever Titan, joins us right now. Chris, I know you coach some younger kids in football. Have you noticed whether it be players trying to stay away from being the running back position? I know eventually making it to the NFL is the ultimate goal and only a small amount of people do. Yeah. But, you know, we were kind of having this discussion with Robbie and Rexroad the other day, like, you know, tell them to go be linebackers if they're that big-bodied guy just because, you know, the payoff might be worth it and the running back career has been shortened so much. Have you seen, you know, guys, whether switching to wide receiver or linebacker or something like that at the younger level?
Yeah, you're 100% right, because the thing about it is, and when I say this in a respectful way, you know, the wide receiver is the sexy pick. When I say the sexy pick, it's a guy that's consistently catching the ball, that's consistently making those plays. So a lot of people want to be in that limelight. You know, just like in with my school, there's a lot of kids that went from running back to wide receiver because you get a chance because they know that it's a passing league. And the thing about it is, it's also about the formations also. A lot of teams are not going into 21 personnel. That's two backs, one tight end, and two wide receivers. Now they're going to a more 10 personnel, one back, zero tight ends, and four wide receivers because you to make so many plays. So, yeah, I agree with you. That's a great statement that you said, because a lot of kids are shying away from being the running back because they're not going to touch the ball. And then now, you know, they've been in the wide receiver position. And then another thing, too, is if you look at the high school level, you know, back in the day, we didn't have 7-on-7. We didn't have all that. The skill. What was 7-on-7? I'm like, what is that? But see, now you got countries or teams that are doing a lot of 7-on-7 so they can improve their skill set by doing 7-on-7.
Chris Sanders is with us, Forever Titans wide receiver. All right, we're gonna have a little therapy session here because I need to tell you what I did the other day, and it's the first time I've done this since the year 2000. I watched the Super Bowl. I watched the Super Bowl.
I gotta hang up. I can't do it.
That's what D-May said.
Hey, I can't do it. I can't do it. No. Don't do that. No, for real, right when you just said I started sweating. Okay, this is what hurts my heart. Is on the last play of the game, You were when wide Dyson open. Caught it, I was wide open.
You were wide open. I know.
Hey, I was wide open.
Jared and I were talking about that. Yeah, you were wide open. You were
just
wide
open. Just threw me the ball. Give me the darn ball. But on the flip side, you know, can I flip a little script on that? I know that we lost, and I know it hurts when we bring it up, but here's what my mom said. I'll never forget this, and this is why I love mom, is because it's so beautiful. They're the best. I was sitting in my hotel room with my lip poked out, crying, and, you know, woe is me. And she whispered in my ear, she said, son, remember that dream that you dreamed about playing in the NFL in the Super Bowl? She said, it was just fulfilled. Come on, man. That's it.
You're right.
So even though it hurts, and even though I wanted to wrestle you for saying that, I still played in the Super Bowl, and I had great teammates, great coaches, and hey.
I will say this in watching it, Chris, that, you know, the game plan was very similar to what we see out of today's Titans teams. You know, feeding the ball to Eddie, feed the ball to Derek. I mean,
but
I mean, the thing that was, I guess, so cool about it was watching you guys just wear out that Rams defense, because they were absolutely gassed at the end of that game. And, you know, yeah, if you could have that last play over again, it could be very different. But and there obviously were different things that happened throughout the game that you know you'd like to change. But the one thing that I will never forget is just how freaking good Steve McNair really was.
Oh my gosh, he was incredible, man. And funny story is before the game he was always asleep. I mean, that's how calm he was. He was asleep before the game. But here's what I love about him, and I'm going to share a story. We were playing the Dallas Cowboys, and this is how unselfish this guy was. We were playing the Dallas Cowboys, and his finger was bent back the other way on the play before. So Frank Wycheck and Joe was like, man, get out the game. He said, nah. He said, I got to do this for my team. So what he did is his finger was bent back. But what he did, he got underneath center, and all he see him do is he pops it back in, he takes the snap, and he runs for the touchdown. Not that he's tough, not that he's a grown man, but his unselfishness to put his body on the line. If you look in the league, you don't see too many guys like that, because it's a me-me league. He said it's a we-we league because he cared about his players as opposed to himself. Great man.
Yeah, absolutely. He was, for sure. But not to depress you, but I just wanted to let you know I watched it for the first time.
I'm going to go jump off my roof right now.
Don't do that. You got a you have a golf tournament to play in, right?
Yeah, I do. You know I'm not a golfer, man. They call me Tiger Woo because, you know, don't look like Tiger Woo. So they can't put the D on it because I'm not that good. But, man, I'm just going to go out there and meet some friends and, you know, see some of the guys that I play with. I have like 10 balls. I lose them on the first hole. So I'm just going to sit there and watch and eat all the snacks.
Yeah, it'll be fun. Say hi to Caroline, Willie, and D-Mace. They'll be out there.
Hey. Hey, again, every time I say this, man, I love you, Michelle, and I love you, Chase. It's an honor working with y'all every single time. Love you guys.
Absolutely.
Thanks,
we love you
we
too,
love
Chris.
You.
Thank you.
Appreciate it, man. Okay, you're welcome.
Have a good weekend. Chris Sanders, forever Titans wide receiver, joining us here on the program. Always enjoy that. Coming up next, we'll touch on a few different things, including the news that came out about Michael Jordan, and I guess he's selling the Charlotte Hornets. We'll discuss that, plus some Pred stuff next. Chase, Michelle, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
Stop it. Get some help.
Chase and Michelle, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Chase McCabe, Michelle Knezvik with you. Tune in for Nashville Sounds Baseball tonight. Pregame at 6:20. First pitch, 6:35, 94.9 The Fan. They'll take on the Gwinnett Stripers, AAA affiliate of the Atlanta Braves. Sounds Baseball on 94.9 The Fan is presented by 312 Pizza Company, Farm Bureau Health Plans, and Family Leisure. Broadcasting live from the Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical Studio here on this Friday. You're bringing the diversity with the music. I like it. That's good.
Yes, you're welcome.
It's good.
And I think he's the point of me playing the Jordan meme there was I think that they need some help.
Yeah, no, that I see what you did there. That was good. The ceiling is the roof for you, my friend. That is for sure. So the report coming out, and I mean, this I don't think is a big surprise because it's kind of been rumored.
Yeah.
That MJ, Michael Jordan, is selling the Charlotte Hornets. I'm curious about this because I feel like he's been, you know, I know in like talking to people from Chicago, like he hardly ever comes to anything Bulls alumni and, you know, and obviously he's an owner of another team, but still, I mean, he's the greatest player ever in won six championships for that franchise, you would think he would come to more.
Yeah.
I just wonder if he's, like, ready to just kind of be done with basketball.
I mean, he – ever since he really, like, stopped playing, I mean, he has not wanted to be in the limelight whatsoever. I mean, the fact –
like, the last dance.
I was just going to say, the fact that he did a last dance was pretty wild to me, just considering how under the rug, out of the spotlight, you know, just really away from the game. I mean, even when he was the owner of the Hornets – you know, you didn't see him at the forefront of everything. He was not an owner that just wanted to be out there and having everybody see his face. Like, he really was behind the scenes in a lot of different ways. I'm not surprised that he's selling them. The Charlotte Hornets also been...
So they just put a statement out. I guess he's keeping a minority ownership.
Oh, okay. I mean, they've been one of the most irrelevant franchises in the NBA. They've got the second overall pick this year, and I know that... there's been some rumors floating around about the Pelicans trying to trade Zion to them, which I think would be, if the Hornets accepted that, would be absolutely awful. It's very clear that Zion cannot. First off, he got a lot of stuff happening off the court, and he can't seem to stay on the court, and he's been in the
league. Who's their biggest player, LaMelo Ball?
Yes, PJ Washington's there, who's been pretty good. He was a lottery pick. They had Miles Bridges.
Yeah.
I think he had some off the court issues though, which were, because I know we were talking about in the offseason last year, you know, could he be a guy that would fit in with this Memphis team? Miles Bridges. So they have some young players. I think he's suspended. Miles Bridges, I think, is suspended now after some of the off the court stuff.
Have I ever told you about, so I was in Denver about a year or so ago, and I was sitting in this random bar that I had been to before when I had been to Denver. And so I just went in and was having a few beers and had a burger and everything. And I, like, look to my right and I see this group of people sitting at a table. And I'm like, wait a minute. And there's this one dude that has a big knee brace on, huge, tall. And I'm like, that's Lonzo Ball.
Yeah, his career, I mean, Lonzo's not going to play ever again, I don't think.
And LeVar, so it was Lonzo, LeVar Ball, the dad, and then LiAngelo, the middle brother.
Yeah.
Lonzo, LaMelo wasn't there. But I'm like, that's the Ball family, just randomly chilling out in Denver. And, like, they were cool. Like, LeVar was taking pictures with people and, you know, everything. It was just so random.
I do have to get to this quick, Chase. Looks like we have some breaking news in the NBA right now. This is from Shams of the Athletic, covers the NBA very thoroughly. NBA is suspending Memphis Grizzlies star Ja Morant for 25 games, sources tell the Athletic in the stadium. That's kind of, you know, what we thought would happen. You know, you and I kind of talked about it yesterday. This decision has got to be happening soon. The NBA finals are over. Adam Silver said that they would be making a decision after the finals, or at least announcing their decision if one had already been made after the NBA finals. Looks like Ja Morant will be suspended for about almost a quarter of the season.
25 games. Honestly, I thought it could be more.
I thought it could be more too. You know, we were talking about it actually on the morning show that the decision probably would be coming today. You talk about a news dump day. It's Friday. Heading into the weekend, finals are over, and 25 games looks like we talked about probably in that range. You know, some people will say that, oh, it's too much and whatever. I think that 25 games, a good amount. I think that this sets a statement by the NBA saying that that's absolutely unacceptable behavior, not only the first offense of it, but then the second time they said that they found some more things in the investigation they did regarding Ja Morant. But I think it sets a statement. And, you know, the way I look at this moving forward is hopefully this makes Ja Morant take it seriously. And this can be, you know, a change of course for him when he does come back mid-season, and he can take time to reflect. He can take time to work on himself and really focus on what's important to him and how he wants to continue his career. Because I've said this many times, he has the talent to be a face of the NBA someday. And in a market like Memphis, you know, they have bought into him. He is the biggest celebrity in the city of Memphis. And he can't get caught up in that because of, you know, how much, you know, people, young kids look up to him and just the whole Grizzlies organization. And I think, you know, when you look at this too, Taylor Jenkins also needs to look inward and make sure that the culture of this organization,
a lot of this is on him too,
is on par moving forward, because the NBA setting a statement. You don't want anything like this ever happening again.
Woj also says the suspension will come with conditions for his return, sources tell ESPN. So 25 games to start next season, but conditions also that he has to meet to be able to return. I agree with you. I hope that he learns from this too. Unfortunately, when you're a repeat offender on things, you gotta earn my trust a little bit more now.
Sure.
You gotta show me. And it's on him, it's on the organization to help him. He's gotta want the help. I mean, one of my favorite phrases in life is you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink. And so that is what he's gonna have to decide, that all right, you know what? I have a great opportunity in front of me. I'm very talented. I can be the star in this town. We can have a great team, but I got to get out of my own way. He has to decide that. And then the Grizzlies have to help build a culture around him to nourish that. And that's why, you know, yesterday when Kendrick Perkins threw out on ESPN that, you know, the Miami Heat would be potentially a good fit for him, I tend to agree with that, because they have culture. They have, you know, the Jimmy Butlers of the world that, you know, are the stars of that team. But, you know, Pat Riley and Eric Spoelstra, they don't put up with that stuff, and they've created that good culture there. And so I do wonder if the end result of all of this is going to be the Grizzlies moving on from him. I would hate to see that, but, you know, there comes a point where you have to walk away.
Well, yeah, 100%. I highly, highly doubt that the Grizzlies would ever do that, or at least want to do that, considering the type of player he is. I understand, you know, when you have off the court issues, you know, that can be really concerning. And I think in this situation specifically, it was. Ja Morant's very young still in his career. He's making a lot of money, and he is what the organization, you know, invested in. They invested in Ja Morant. That's what, you know, big organizations do. And, you know, I don't think that there would be any scenario in which they would move on from him now.
Yeah, and I mean, if this continues.
Yeah, I mean, if something else happens, you would hope that, you know, he would even have an opportunity to still be playing. I understand the type of player he is, but if you see, you know, him not reach those, what was it, benchmarks that Woj said, kind of during his suspension, which I would assume has to do with nothing happening, right?
Right.
Nothing happening within that 25-game suspension, and that's what you hope. But I think you made a great point, Jason. He has to want to do the work, and he has to make sure that, you know, he stays out of trouble. It's up to him now.
Coming up next, we've talked a little bit about this, but I want to do a deeper dive into it with gambling and NFL players and what's going on with that. Charles Robinson had some interesting thoughts on it yesterday on Robbie and Rex Road. We'll discuss that next. Chase and Michelle, 1025, 1063, The Game.
The World Cup Championship will be crowned this week, and you can trade the tourney through the finals on Kalshi, America's number one prediction market platform. Right now, Spain is trading at 58% to beat Argentina, meaning 100 trade pays out 166 if they win. On Kalshi, you're trading against other people in a live market. No house, no odds makers. For a limited time, download the Kalshi app and use code DEFEND to get $10 when you trade $10. Kalshi. Kalshi. Trade the beautiful game. 18 plus only. Restrictions and eligibility requirements apply. Event contract trading involves risk and may not be suitable for all investors. Kalshi products are not available in all jurisdictions. Prices, values, and available markets may differ from those mentioned. For more information, see kalshi.com/regulatory.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.